Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, the Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs, Mansfield area, and will provide some insight on UConn's fall athletic teams. Now we're going to get right into it. We have some news updates that are pretty sports-centric, and shout out to our very own WHUS News Committee reporters, Patrick Boots and Kaden Knapp, who have written these stories and did a phenomenal job. So, from Patrick Boots, he wrote about two UConn legends who were recently inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Sue Bird and Maya Moore were the two inductees, and they both played for the UConn Huskies. Bird played for the Huskies from 1998 to 2002 and was a key player in the second and third NCAA National Championship title teams in 2000 and 2002. Moore played for UConn from 2007 to 2011, contributing to back-to-back titles in 2009 and 2010. Both players have respectfully earned numerous awards during their time with the UConn women's basketball team, including the National College Player of the Year Award. The ceremony took place at Symphony Hall in Springfield, Massachusetts, and both pros were presented with the honor by Gino Auriemma, their former coach. This class of inductees includes WNBA player Sylvia Fowles, NBA stars Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard, Chicago Bulls coach Billy Donovan, retired referee Danny Crawford, and former Miami Heat owner Mickey Aronson. The 2008 Olympic gold medal winning USA men's national team was also honored that night. Now, these UConn alums aren't the only ones making these headlines this week. Tina Charles, another former UConn women's basketball star, signed with Athletes Unlimited Professional League, as reported by WHUS Radio's Kaden Knapp. Charles is the first former WNBA MVP to sign with the league, following her season with the Connecticut Sun. The AU League started in January of 2022, and the season spans the month of February. This upcoming season will be hosted at Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, we have some reports from the Daily Campus this week. Did anyone else notice the temporary closure of Wings Over Stores this week? Well, the Daily Campus's Keaton Arole looked into it, and according to the establishment's Facebook page, the building was closed for repairs due to a car accident that damaged utilities outside the building. Wings Over Stores planned to reopen on September 23rd and are welcoming students back for into their restaurant, especially those who are looking for a late-night snack. Now, big news from the Mansfield Town Council meeting this week. A UConn representative was questioned about the consequences the local community will have if enrollment at the Storrs campus continues to increase. According to Kevin Gwenin from the Daily Campus, Vice President for Student Life and Enrollment Nathan First did not receive positive feedback when explaining the strategic enrollment management plan for 2025. Deputy Mayor Ben Shaken shared his concern over the plan, saying that the increase in undergraduate enrollment would challenge the town's ability to provide for its residents. According to the town council, new housing developments such as the Four Corners were to accommodate both residents and undergraduate students. However, Shaken said that it, quote, seems the university's plan is to fully occupy that building, end quote, end quote. The Mark Mansfield was another off-campus housing development that was discussed that night and used as a reference point for enrollment. The 1.56-acre site on 134 North Eagleville Road is set to house off-campus students with its 738 beds. First said that they're assuming the mark will be completed for the fall of 2027. If not, UConn will go back in class enrollment size. Due to this construction, parking and traffic have become sensitive topics in the city of Mansfield because it's been crazy backed up. Town Council member Brian Coleman said that he's been receiving many traffic complaints from Mansfield's residents because of this traffic congestion. To offset the gridlocking, Coleman suggested further restrictions on parking on campus, permitted to only credited juniors and up to have access to parking permits. Now, we all know that the parking situation here at the UConn Storrs campus is a pretty difficult one, finding parking spaces and there being very limited parking areas. So as more information in regards to the parking situation and Yukon housing comes up, we will be sure to keep you informed right here on 91.7 FM. Now we're going to throw the mic over to Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski. Rhea, what is going on in local news?
All right, so kind of building off of the housing story that we were just talking about, in the Stamford campus, another story coming from the Daily Campus talks about how the regional campus at Stamford that we've kind of been talking about before, they have an ongoing conflict between the current tenants of a building purchased by UConn. These tenants have now formed their own union to avoid eviction. The union consists of 9 tenants, and the issue is that they're currently living at the building called the Boulevard, which is a part of Stamford's below market rate program. The eligibility for this program is that renters are making less money than the area's medium income. If renters are forced to move out to a different area, this could jeopardize their eligibility of this program. Tenants have until April of 2026 to move out, and the article stressed that the over-admittance across all UConn campuses is a huge issue. Next, UConn's programming board, SUBOG, is hosting a carnival on Sunday, September 28th, as a part of Homecoming Week. The event will be from 2 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and will feature food trucks, rides, games, face painting, dunk tanks, and other fun activities. The event will also be located on the Founders Green, and just before the event at 1:30, there will be a homecoming parade, which will be the official kickoff for Homecoming Weekend. Now, in state/global news, the beloved app TikTok will remain active in the U.S. following President Donald Trump's executive order on Thursday, as reported by CNBC. This deal between the Chinese-based ByteDance company would satisfy the requirements of national security by selling TikTok's U.S. operations. These terms will still be pending approval as of the new joint venture between the countries, with ByteDance retaining less than a 20% stake in the company. The main investors in the U.S. TikTok business include Oracle, Silver Lake, and the Abu Dhabi-based MGX Investment Fund. They will control roughly 45% stake in the entity, while ByteDance investors and new holders will own 35% of the reported by the CNBC. Representatives from ByteDance were not present at the signing, and the company has not yet acknowledged the transaction taking place. There's currently no indication by the Chinese government that changes to laws will be necessary for a deal to take place. Oracle will be overseeing the app's security operations and continue to provide cloud computing services for the new firm. This deal does not have federal government involvement, such as taking an equity stake or share in the app's operations, as reported by CNBC. Trump has signed an executive order to extend ByteDance's deadline to divest TikTok U.S. operations to be subject to a national security law that was originally signed by the former President Joe Biden. And that is all for local and state news. Back to you, Katie.
Thanks, Rhea. That was great. And I'm so happy to hear about TikTok. I'm a big TikTok user, so I'm very excited about that.
Let's transition over to the sports world. You've just entered Carbone's Court. I'm your host, Vinny Carbone. Let's get it started on this amazing Friday. Let's start with women's soccer. Let's start on a high note, because this UConn women's soccer team improves to 5-2-2. They have a 6-game unbeaten streak. That means they haven't lost in 6 games. They are 4-0-2, and they've only allowed 2 goals over that stretch. The Xavier Musketeers came to town this past Wednesday looking to get revenge on the Huskies after losing to them last year in the Big East tournament. Losing the game 1-1 at halftime in losing the shots on goal battle 9-2. The Huskies needed a triumphant push in the second half, and they did just that as redshirt freshman Sahana Mars scored on a great through ball from Farah Stevens-Martin. And freshman keeper Ava Yamas kept on doing her thing. She kept the Huskies in this game, making 5 saves, tying her season high. The Huskies went on to tie this one 1-1, not a loss, but a tie. They go to play at Georgetown tomorrow night. Now over to men's soccer, kind of on a lower note. It was a top 25 matchup. UConn was ranked 22nd this Tuesday, and Bryant was ranked 14th. And they played at Joseph J. Maroney Field. Unfortunately, UConn's unbeaten streak came to an end. They dropped this one 4-1 against one of the best soccer teams in the nation, the Bryant Bulldogs. And in a span of 6 minutes in the first half, the Bryant Bulldogs capitalized on 3 opportunities and were winning 3-0 after the 34th minute. Sophomore Evan Pickering scored in the second half, making it a 3-1 game, but it just wasn't enough, and UConn dropped to 6-1-3 on the season. Now over to some football. UConn came back home to Hartford this past weekend and gave the fans exactly what they wanted, a win, but this time in regulation. So there was no overtime. It was really close at the end of the game, but in regulation time, that's what UConn fans wanted. The Ball State Cardinals were in this game for all 48 minutes, though. Thankfully, Cam Edwards had himself one of the best games of his career. He scored twice for the second week in a row, and he had a career-high 194 rushing yards on 24 carries. His 67-yard touchdown with a minute left sealed the deal for the Huskies. It was 67 yards, I promise you. Check the books. And they won this one 31-25 because of that 67-yard touchdown. They travel to Buffalo tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Now, for everyone's favorite segment of Carbone's Court, we're doing trivia. Last week, I believe most of you knew this answer, but last week our question was, what hair company has a partnership with UConn, specifically making advertisements with players on the women's basketball team? And the correct answer is Madison Reed. I believe most of you knew that. Everyone came to me after said they knew the answer, but good job if you got that one correct. But this week, let's see how niche you know your numbers and you know your stats, because we're going back to Paige Beckers again, just because Rookie of the Year, I mean, WNBA, we're going to stay in that realm. How many points did Paige average this season in her inaugural season in the WNBA? Once again, how many points did Paige Beckers average in her inaugural season in the WNBA? Let's see if you guys know it. We'll get the answer for you next week, and that's all for Carbone's Court.
Thanks, Vinny. I thought you were going to throw the mic back, but guess not. I guess you're just really riding that high right now.
Yeah, that song is still pumping in me.
That's so great. I'm so happy that you picked today's song of the day. Perfect way to get the Friday vibe started. Now, we're going to introduce our special guest for today. We have Subog's Vice President of Membership, Delaney Hernandez. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming in studio and meeting with us here on Husky Nation News. I'm so happy to finally get Subog here and representing our Student Union Board of Governors, considering that WUS is based in the union. So it's really nice to have you guys on and to finally get a chance to chat with you all.
Yeah, we're just one floor away from each other. So.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You guys are on the third floor.
Yep.
So I wanted to talk to you last week, Glizzy Fest.
Yes.
The cultural phenomenon of Subog is, that's all everyone was talking about. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was?
Yeah, so Glizzy Fest this year was in partnership with Subog's Involvement Fair. So every year Subog has its own involvement fair separate from UConn's overall big involvement fair that they have on Fairfield Way. So me being VP of membership for Subog, that's kind of one of my roles. Mm-hmm. I had to plan that. So when I got elected my position in the spring of last year, I started brainstorming how to make our involvement fair more interactive for the students. Mm. I've noticed since I've been involved in Subog, our numbers in our committees kind of have gone down. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that involvement fair was a big bang and that we can really get a lot of people there and interacting with our committees and wanting to join Subog. So traditionally, our involvement fair has simply been tabling, mm-hmm. which is not really too fun. Mm-hmm. So I figured, why not make an event out of it? And I know I'm in love with hot dogs, and I feel like everyone else is in love with hot dogs.
I mean, who doesn't love a good hot dog?
Exactly. And it's still September, so I feel like that's kind of a summer food, but it's still like enough for September to still have like a Glizzy Fest. Like,
yeah,
it's not too fall yet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why not have a Glizzy Fest and like get people there, have merch, food trucks, and just a bunch of free stuff. So
you were the mastermind behind Glizzy Fest.
I was.
Yes. It was so widely talked about. Everyone I knew was asking, like, are you going to Glizzy Fest? I was like, what is Glizzy Fest? I've never heard of this. And I have only heard good things. And I kind of wanted to follow up with you now that it's been a week since the event. What changes have you seen in the growth of your committees, considering that you just mentioned that you've seen a little bit of a decline in your attendance? How is it looking now?
We definitely have upped up our numbers this year. A lot of our chairs for our committees are super excited. We have a lot of young people joining, a lot of freshmen, but also still like juniors and seniors still wanting to get the most out of their UConn experience. So we've seen our numbers grow. A lot of people are interested. And even if people aren't attending our committee meetings, we're going to see like people wanting to join our events. They're interactive in our group meetings, asking, where's this at, when they see that we're posting about our next event on our Instagram. So it's really exciting to see us flourish.
Yeah, and you guys host so many events over the course of just a semester.
Yeah.
I believe you guys do comedy nights, and then you have the Sunset Music Concert
Fest.
Yeah. Yes, and there's so much that you guys put on. Like, what is it like to put on so many events for students? Like, is it a lot?
It can be. We're right now we have a calm week before the storm, is what we like to call it.
Oh.
Next week we have our homecoming week, which is put on by our major weekends committee.
Mm-hmm.
So her name's Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi's behind that, also in partnership with our special events chair, who's Ariana. They have on Sunday, actually, if you're free, by Austin, that little lawn over there. We have carnival going on, so there'll be a bunch of free stuff, free food, literal like carnival games and like carnival rides.
Oh,
and we also have our parade where we hold that big husky, and a bunch of student orgs like drive around the golf court around campus, and it's like an actual parade. So homecoming week is definitely very, very busy for us, but it's definitely sometimes stressful depending on the time of year. We have these things called all hands on deck events where like such as homecoming, or in the spring, we have One Ton Sunday, if you've ever heard about that. People love that. People are always lining up hours before we even start.
I mean, if you're not lining up like hours before, what are you doing?
Exactly. It's the only way to enjoy One Ton Sunday. But yeah, so depending on the time of year, it can be stressful, but it's super fun because we make sure that there are things that students want. Obviously, students are at the end of the day paying for all these events because it's coming out of their fee bill. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're listening to the student body. We've had a lot of interest forms go out on our Instagram. And so we love it though. Even though it's stressful sometimes, we love planning things.
Yeah. And do you guys primarily engage with the students through your social media accounts and to get an idea of what kind of events they want from Subog?
Yeah, definitely. We've utilized our Instagram a lot. We also utilize the Daily Digest sometimes. We don't see a lot of interaction from there. I don't know how many people really look at the Daily Digest, but just in case people don't have social media, we want to get to everyone. And I know some of our committees at our involvement fair actually had like polls going out. I know our DEF committee, so our Digital Entertainment and Films committee, the ones that put on those movies in the theater every weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're in charge of that. So they got some feedback on some of the movies they students want to see. I know Ben, he's going to have an outdoor movie in October, so he had a poll whether people wanted to watch Sinners Outside or Weapons.
Ooh, so that's a good one. I wonder which one's going to win.
I wonder too.
It's got to come. Guess I'll have to be there.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, Subog, you guys are always like crafting something up. You know, you guys do so much to give back to the students. So I guess I wanted to ask, because of the amount of content and the amount of events that you guys are organizing every single year, you know, there's so many goals that you guys have and you set for yourself. What would you say is your personal goal for you in this role this year?
Yeah, me being a part of membership and being in charge of that, I definitely want people to know what Subog is and to join Subog, because it's so much more than just like free stuff. We have a community here. We have two amazing advisors that directly work with some of our chairs, including two other advisors, which help with our finances, and one specifically with one committee. And we have an office down there. We just got renovated.
Nice.
So I definitely want people to join Subog and to gain relationships, because I just joined last year. And
wow.
Yeah. So I'm very new compared to other people at Subog, but it's definitely a home and family, and I love the people that I've met there, and it's given me so many opportunities. It's taken me to conferences. It's given me so much leadership. So there's a lot of opportunity within Subog that's stress-free, but also you can gain experience from, and a lot of like skills you can use post-grad, even if like planning and like student activities, if that's not what you want to go through to after post-grad, which is definitely not something that I want to do. I want to go in a different area, but I've learned so many skills, and just working with teams and working with people and dealing with the big budget that we do have, it's definitely something to learn about. So I really like bringing people together, making sure people love one another, obviously.
Love it.
Love Subog, and just get creative with all the things we do.
Yeah. Now, if people were interested in coming to a Subog meeting or being a part of committee, first, where can they find you guys on your socials? And second, what various committees do you guys have?
Yeah, so we have 7 committees. Let's name them. We have DEF, which is Digital Entertainment and Films. We have Major Weekends, which hosts the bigger, larger scale, really big scale events at UConn. We have Special Events, so a lot of people know like Stuff a Husky.
Okay,
Special Events does that along with Mason Jar Sunday, like if you've ever heard of that. We have our sports committee, so we've had a travel trip that just happened. So they do a lot of travel trips, sports related stuff. We have the concert committee. They're in charge of, like you said earlier, Sunset Fest, and also the big one, UConic.
So UConic!
If you want to have a say in the UConic artist, which I know a lot of people give us a lot of feedback
just
for,
check it out.
Definitely go to the concert committee, because you can have a say in it and not just complain after it happens. So we have that. We have our outreach committee, which is obviously like outreach, getting our TikToks going, photos, videography. We have a comedy committee. We do comedy shows. I think I hit them all. Is that 7?
I think it was 7.
I hope so. If I miss one, I'm going to feel really bad. But I don't think so. And then our Instagram. We have an Instagram. It's Subog at UConn, which I hope that is also right. But I'm pretty sure that's right.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. I'm so sure. Definitely follow us on Instagram. And in one of our pinned posts, we have our committee times and where to find us. So all of our meetings happen in the union throughout the week, Monday through Thursday. It's either starting at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Those are usually the times, 5, 6, or even 7 maybe. And so if you can't catch any meetings on Monday, you have 3 more days to catch another meeting.
You're right.
For one of our committees. And you don't have to come every single week. A lot of people like have that misconception, like, oh, I have to be there all the time. No, you come and go as you please. You put your input whenever you want to. We do a lot of fun stuff in our community meetings. Sometimes we have food there too.
Ooh, so I know that would have me. I'd be set. I mean, that and the flexibility at the time. I'm there.
Like, there's no like other like dues, or like, I know a lot of clubs you need like a specific amount of meeting attendance to be an active member. We don't do that. So if you just want to come one time and just check it out, you definitely can, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on, Delaney. I really appreciated your time, and I know I'm going to be checking out some Subog committees. I'm really excited.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. And we will catch up with you soon, hopefully.
You're me. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. A special thank you to our news partners, The Daily Campus, UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV, UConn's student television station. A special thank you to Eden Smith, the creator of our theme music.
I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rhea Kowalski.
And I'm Vinnie Carbone. And you have been listening to Husky Nation News on WHU Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.